This show is about spoilers and discussion. It's also about spooky things that are best enjoyed after you see the movie. So any movie we talk about, we recommend you go see. You've been warned.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Horror. There is no shortage of monsters to haunt our dreams.
Horror. You got red on you.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Horror.
Alive. It's alive.
Groovy.
Welcome to Oh the Horror, a horror movie podcast where we talk about modern and classic horror films from a newcomer's and an enthusiast's perspective. I'm Rob Holmes.
And I am Steve Allman.
And today, the movie that we're talking about is Joseph Kahn's 2012 film, Detention.
Yes, this is basically a, you might call a teen slasher comedy
on crack.
Yeah, sure, on a couple of things.
I like to consider it to be basically what would be your normal teen slasher amped up to 11 and just made as weird as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Like, nothing was cut from the script, and they just made every idea work. Like, someone took an idea board and was like, we're going to have a bear, and it's going to be a time-traveling bear. And there's this kid who's going to have fly blood. And there's this other kid who's like the coolest kid in the school. And we're going to keep him as our main guy. And then we're going to have this like serial killer that's going around and just killing everybody based on some movie that's out at the time that's really popular.
Yeah, so if that sounded weird and unfocused, that's exactly how I found this film. This is going to be... And this is going to be a bit of a divisive one. So
it definitely is.
I was given this film on Rob's recommendation because he said that there's a lot going on in this, and he thought it was definitely worth a shot. And I took a look at it, and I gotta say that I did not like this movie probably one bit.
I find that really hard to believe because I was talking to you about this before we sat down to record, and I've shown this movie to a lot of people, expecting kind of that same reaction, but people actually really liked it and found it to be very, very strange. And most of the people who have seen it kind of had the same feeling that I did. I guess it's like a different generational thing, is that when I watch this film, I don't know how many people are I'm in my 30s, so for me, I grew up on books, like, when I was a kid, like, Sideways Stories from Wayside High, which is, like, a very zany thing about this high school that just is batshit crazy. It goes up way high up into the sky. Things are just fucked up everywhere. Everybody has a strange story that's going on. This movie feels like it's just a bunch of strange little stories of different people thrown together. Some of it makes sense, some of it doesn't make sense, but it feels like someone took that book, Sideways Stories from Wayside High, mixed it with Shel Silverstein, but some of the Shel Silverstein we know, and then some of the stuff that he did that was like more adult themed, feels like someone took that, put it in a blender, and then made like a very cartoony version of it as a film.
Right, and I think my main issue with all of that, because for the most part, I could actually agree with a lot of those sentiments. This movie is a lot of ideas jumbled up into one in order to make a sort of weird chemical mixture of a sort of thing that has a wild personality and a crazy sort of thing. But all of the ideas and all of the trajectory and momentum that this movie has feels misguided, mean-spirited, and just borderline bad.
See, I don't know about mean-spirited.
Well, I say that in the sense that the movie seems very in love with the sort of cleverness that it's bringing to the audience. That it's very aware that it's doing all of these crazy and weird things that movies don't typically do, and it's going to show you all of these crazy different things in the story that's going to be turning it on its ear and making all of these fun, cool cultural references and making all of these interesting things that it has to say or do with, you know, dialogue or weird title cards or things to be done with text and stuff. And all of that to me falls flat and feels too on the nose and too, it tries so hard to be so cool and so clever that it completely falls flat.
See, part of me feels like that at times it's trying to do that, and that the second it tries to do that, it tries to then take the piss out of itself and then play it up as being...
I meant to do that. That's right. Yeah,
well,
we meant to do...
It seems like it's making fun of... It jumps from genre to genre, kind of, but making fun of everything along the way. So a lot of the stuff that, you know, we get these fucking lens flare shots and shit, and it just looks like it's always ripping on, like, J.J. Abrams or ripping on Michael Bay and some of the way that they're doing their camera shots. I mean, the guy who directed it, Joseph Kahn, is a music video director.
Right.
He even rips on himself for when he directed Torque back in 2004 or something. And he just totally makes fun of himself on that.
Right. And and props to you for
and
ripping
that's,
on
but
the...
But the guy's a big music video director. So when you're watching this film, it, to me, feels like a music video that has somehow come to life. A very strange, fucked up music video. Because a lot of music videos have a ton of ideas that are thrown together with very thin... Not actually, most of the time, none of it even makes sense. It's just a bunch of imagery put on screen.
Mm-hmm.
This was almost like he was like, I'm going to make a giant music video, except what I'm going to do is have more of a have a through line that goes through it all the way. Maybe not cleanly, but enough where I found it to be highly entertaining. I found it to be varied and strange enough that I liked it. I love the part where the guy's just... The bully is all of a sudden like throws up and he throws up fucking acid and it starts eating through this dude's helmet and he's like, get away from me, I have fly blood. And I'm like, what? And then it goes into this story about how he gets like abducted or some shit, and then his hand ends up, he has a TV on it when he's growing up, and you're like, this has nothing to do with anything about being a fly. And then he's like tackling people and he's sticking to them, and then it cuts to the scene where they're like, you did way too many like steroids and shit. You fucking fried your brain. He's like, yeah, I don't really remember.
But he vomits and then, that being said, but he vomits onto a guy's helmet and it disintegrates his helmet.
Yeah.
So clearly that's real?
Or... No, it is real. That part's real, but how he ended, his story on how it happened to him makes no sense at all.
No.
Like, it's just really fucking absurd. But for me, because of how absurd it is and how ridiculous it is, I'm entertained because it reminds me of this one more than any film. And I know we had just been talking about Terrorvision, but this, to me, is the epitome of a live-action cartoon. If... something that is a zany in a cartoon world, this is that. This is that film.
I disagree, because if I were to find a sort of, like, this is a mad slapdash, like, string of consciousness that... I feel like a smarter movie, in my opinion. It's fine to sort of, like, take a piss out of, like, those genres or those things that people are making fun of at the time or...
Sure.
Like kind of and throwing that all into a weird blender, but I think in a movie that to me works like better than that is say like the remaking of 21 Jump Street, where they take those tropes and apply them to in a sort of modern context at a pace that the audience can understand, and it throws it back at itself and it makes
sure.
for good
and
comedy.
I think that's fine. This is a different type of film though. This is one that takes the idea of like the body swapping thing and it throws it into the film. It's the idea of taking like any of the 80s or 90s movie cliches. It literally throws all of this into one movie.
Right, and all of the but that it
but
it annoys me when all of the characters are also self-aware of all of these things that are happening
some
and
of
are
them
like that even reference the movies that they are actively referencing while the movie is referencing them.
Some of it they reference and some they don't. And some of it I think works, and yeah, maybe not all of it does, but I think for like an effort from a person who is a music video director to be able to put something together that, because I watch a shit ton of horror movies, I've seen all of these type of films, it's fun to see some of the references that he pulls in that they don't really do in other movies, and to make fun of that shit, and to make fun of the fact where, like, the mom is basically like, oh, yeah, this is going to be easy. You have to do this dance thing. We're going to body swap. And she talks to the daughter about how they're going to body swap. It becomes, like, a focal point of the movie, but not a focal mm-hmm. point of the film. There's
right.
so much other shit that's going on in it. And that's what I like about it. You have a girl who's, like, obsessed with the 90s, and then you find out it's because she switched bodies with her mom, and that's why she's going out with this main guy, because normally she wouldn't. So, like, you get everything kind of comes together in the end. The girl in the beginning with the broken leg. Like, I like the intro scene that you get also with the girl Taylor.
And that was mildly clever, I'll admit, like, because it's like, I'm Sally so-and-so, and I'm a bitch. And yeah. Here's an acronym for what bitch means.
And then she gets killed off, like, 3 minutes later, and I love that shot of her going out the window and landing on the car once her throat is slit.
Yeah, and
like, the camera techniques, the editing, some of the special effects in there, some of the styling, there are amazing parts that come together as a very strange whole, and I understand why you don't like it. Mm-hmm. It sucks that you don't, but I get it.
Right.
Like,
because it, like, of all of the music video directors that, like, could have been referencing and, like, doing, like, you know, I'll take a Michelle Gondry or a Spike Jonze over something like this. And yes, I get it. They're that's a loaded comparison because they're different filmmakers. But in a weird way, like, I don't feel like for a movie that's trying to do so much, it does too much and ends up accomplishing very little. And which is interesting because since we're a horror podcast, yeah. We're not even really talking about the thing that would classify it to being even talked about on this podcast. Because there's a bit, there's an interesting middle that this movie hits that apparently a movie decides to snap on and a plot decides to happen in the middle of it. And in a weird way, there's only a sort of plot device that accelerates an actual, like, sort of through line for a plot,
the Cinderella
from the
thing.
From the middle to the end,
yeah, with the serial killer, like, coming after them still.
Yeah, because essentially the beginning half of this movie is just an assumption, like a weird collection of, you could almost say, skits.
Yeah,
with the same characters
it's
in,
like,
them.
It's like following someone through their senior year while this shit is happening, and all the shit that's going on with their life.
Just their high school
experience,
but
it's very skewed though, and it's very. It's not 100% like your traditional Not Another Teen Movie parody that does everything, like, pitch perfect. It's stuff that makes fun of, like, the other side of high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel like this one works, and I feel like a lot of the stuff that it did, I mean, I just had fun with it. It's a fun movie, and that's why I like it. It's not gonna win any fucking awards Best Picture, but as far as something that is fun nowadays, this is the type of film that I could see coming out in the 80s. Not as stylized as this, but the weirdness that's being put on film is something that you would get either in the late 80s or the early 90s.
Right.
You would not get that nowadays.
And I think, because you mentioned this before, that you found this movie Detention to be what you wished Not Another Teen Movie was.
Yeah.
You thought that's how Not Another Teen Movie should have been, and I would like to offer a counterpoint, is to say that this is Not Another Teen Movie now. This is exactly what Not Another Teen Movie was in the present day.
Right.
Whereas in the early 2000s, the structure of that movie lent itself perfectly to those mid 2000s plot structures and movie tropes and all that stuff. This is just a weird slapdash, like, internet centric, like, ADHD, you cannot keep your fucking attention on too many things for too long, or apparently the audience would get bored, sort of mentality of a movie, where we're just going to quick say what we're going for in this one instance and then do it, and then hopefully that works.
Yeah, but I feel like that's where we're at now. But this movie came out it was made in 2011, released in 2012. That shit didn't really start happening until, like, the last 2 years, really. So this movie was a couple of years ahead of its time.
It had its finger on the pulse of what was going on for kids.
But this movie was ahead of its time then, as far as touching on some of the stuff that we're hitting now. Like, when you look at it now, you could even be like, this movie was just made.
I mean, kids still had phones and, like, Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying in the way that, like, some of the stuff that they go off of, like the time traveling bear thing and all that crazy shit that they get into. And then harkening back on, like, the 90s a lot, because I feel like that's where we're hitting now, is a lot of things are going back to the 1990s finally. And this movie kind of, like, you know, pays homage to that a lot too. I don't know. It's a strange film to describe, like, because we could talk about different aspects of it. There's so much going on in this film.
Well, then in that case, let's talk about the aspect of what qualifies it to be talked about on this podcast, which is the horror aspect.
So the horror aspect of it, you got a serial killer going around. So in the beginning, you have this girl who introduces herself, calls herself, like, a bitch. It's very Mean Girls-esque. And then she's horrible. She's absolutely terrible to her, like, family, and does all this terrible shit.
In a cheeky sort of, like, I hate you, I'm on this, meh.
But you're kind of like, man, I want something really terrible to happen to this girl. And then she ends up this character from this terrible fucking horror movie called Cinderella, and it's just awful, awful, awful. Ends up just appearing and slitting her throat and throwing her out of a window onto her mom's car. And I love that shot of her just going out the window and hitting the car hood and just like landing on. And then, you know, it cuts to another character and this girl who has like not the perfect life, the broken leg and everything that's going wrong with her life and how she's trying to kill herself and she's suicidal and everything. And then you have like, it's just, I don't know, it's very strange. And then she starts getting stalked by this killer as well. So it's that's the basic premise, is they've killed the super popular girl, now they're going after the basic girl. Very Scream, so it's like the Sydney Prescott type thing in the beginning. Trying to go after Sydney. So you're dealing with that a lot in this film. And then it just starts going through their year, and then people start getting killed off here and there.
It's not so much here and there, but like in the from the beginning point to the, let's just call it the middle.
Sure.
There are probably at least three attempts at murder. There are two successful murders. But in that span, we just get a beginning murder and then another murder and then an attempted one. In between that, not a whole lot of horror movie stuff happens.
Sure.
Lay the groundwork for something, and then we get to the middle, which I'll let you carry that one.
So which part of the middle? I mean,
let's just say when they get detention.
This is after Mr. Flyblood has gone through his entire story about how he got his fly blood and then gets murdered once he ends up having is confronted by Cinderella and gets his arm cut off, then chopped up into pieces. They end up getting it on film, and the main girl gets like exposed, so that they think that she's gonna get like involved in doing like porn or some shit like that, and she's like, no, it's this weird thing that just happened, you got this like ring caught on my, you know, overalls, whatever. But they're just like, no, you're all getting detention, we don't know how this person died, so none of you are going to prom unless like someone fesses up on who killed this person. And you're like, well, this is very weird, like no one would ever normally do this.
Yeah, it's a very demanding principle. By the way, we are exactly 18 minutes into this recording, and I didn't even mention that Dane Cook is the fucking principal school.
And see, that's what should make it even worse, you would think. But I think it's great because Dane Cook's character, like,
no, actually, I know exactly where you're going for this, because this is not prime Dane Cook.
This is not prime Dane Cook at all. It's Dane Cook, the ultimate loser.
And honestly, Dane Cook, for all I know, probably is the principal of a high school at this point, for wherever the hell he is. And this is probably the best role for him to actually be in, because it's just as like, okay, yeah, my life probably, you think I'm teaching kids because I care? No, fuck you. And by the way, Dane Cook doesn't do anything funny in this. Not that he doesn't try, because he doesn't, but he's just he's not even trying to be funny. It's just, hey, we got Dane Cook.
No, I think Dane Cook in this is
feather in our cap.
I think Dane Cook in this is great. I mean, I think he's super entertaining in it. I know you don't like it. It's got him.
And his shitty face.
And his shitty face with, and he's got this huge ass scar on the side of it from this thing when he was a kid. And I mean, the movie is very strange because it goes from horror movie into time travel later, and it goes like movie within a movie within a movie within a movie. Like when they're in detention, they want to watch Cinderella 3 and they watch that, but then there's a movie within that and the quality degrades, and there's a movie in that and the quality degrades. I mean, the movie just gets fucking weird and strange.
Right.
Like, there's no real other way to describe it except, like, I feel like you have to see it and make this judgment for yourself whether you like it or not. I feel like the vignette thing works because it all comes together in the end. I know you don't.
I don't.
I think that because it has these small little stories that jump from genre to genre to genre with this somewhat overarching theme of, like, getting through school and getting through life also trying to survive this weird serial killer thing, also dealing with all the other weird shit that's going on with every other character.
Right. And
the mascot thing that happens, like, they touch on that a lot too. And
don't get me wrong, I know what this movie's trying to go for, and it's a very ambitious goal.
Right.
And sure, props to you for trying to do a very complex and
and
ambitious thing, but to me it falls completely flat. And the second it was over, I just thought about how I would want to fix it. And not that I'm going to entertain me wanting to try to fix it on this show, but to me, I feel like a lot of other filmmakers or a lot of other people could have done a film like this and gone for it in a way that made it more tangential and more easy to follow for an audience. Because you're asking the audience a lot when you throw in like punchline after reference after punchline after reference after punchline after reference, and you're just trying to get a plot going rather than like establish a base for a character and then another and then another and then another.
So it comes down to this. If you want like a love letter to weird shit from the 80s and 90s just thrown into one film, and I think this is the perfect film for that. If you like that type of stuff, if you want it to be very weird, over the top, and just stupid fun, watch Detention. If you want something that has more of like an actual plot to
I feel like you're mistaking this as me being like highbrow. I'm not above a movie that's like this.
No, I'm not saying that you are. I think like
because we just talked about Terrorvision, and
I thought you would hate Terrorvision. You'd like Detention because of what it is. And that's fine.
And which we can draw a lot of lines to this, because Terrorvision ultimately was drawing from a lot of different inspirations, being a product of the 80s.
Right.
While being in the 80s.
Right.
And I feel like whenever this movie's trying to do something that's getting close to what it wants to do, it's pulling reference points from its own era.
Yeah.
Of like taking the piss out of hipsters and trying to be like, no, Morrissey's second album was a way better tribute to being a vegetarian than this.
Yeah, okay,
and
but
stuff
then
like that.
We're also looking at this from being as part of this generation. Now, if we were alive, if we were like our age now during the time the Terrorvision came out, or any of these other films,
we'd probably think it's terrible.
We'd probably rip on it and think it's terrible. To me, the reason that I like Detention is because I've seen so many other movies that are just shit. They're just bad. They have a basic like horror plot to them, but it's very cookie cutter. And the thing that I really like about this film is that it's not cookie cutter. If anything, it's not cookie cutter at all. It is the opposite of cookie cutter, which is why I think it's successful as a film, because it takes any expectations that I could ever have and throws them right out the window.
To me, that makes a movie that is determined to frustrate and disappoint.
That's why I like it, because it's expect the unexpected, and you end up with the most unexpected type film that you could ever hope to watch.
Sure.
And that's why I like this. It's very, you know, in the same way that like Scott Pilgrim versus the World is, it's very strange and weird. And did you not like that one either?
No, I loved Scott Pilgrim.
Okay,
I thought
you just had this look on your face, and I was about to be like,
No. I'm looking at you. I'm like, you are not about to compare this in a positive light to Scott Pilgrim. But
I mean, I am, as far as the randomness of it. And the insanity of it. And
I know which one you're going to say is a better movie, though.
And some of this title card stuff, too, that you're like, oh, these stupid title cards. I'm like, well, what do you expect? I mean, they do that constantly in Scott Pilgrim. It's because it's based off a manga. And this has that kind of feel to it. Like, I could see Detention as being like a graphic novel, like a very strange graphic novel.
Yeah, but those are, comparatively, those were used with levity and sparingly and, you know, with purpose. This was just used, like, as a scoreboard.
On occasion, but then there's other things that you see. I mean, they do it in different ways throughout the entire film.
Yeah, but it got to be like a point of where like Monty Python-esque, but those times of Monty Python where they didn't really know what the fuck they were doing at some points. Yeah. Like that's what it struck me as. But comparisons aside, I can respect a movie for trying to do a lot and trying to be ambitious with its goals. I like, and honestly, props to that movie for it. Like, cool. Yeah. Like, it's probably the biggest thing that it has going for it is that it is determined to not be something that is the same as everything else.
Not even close.
No. And to me, it just, it went too far, too fast, too much, and it just did not work at all for me. And that's fine. And that's fine. You can like that. But I did not. And that's where I sit with that. Like, that's all it is. Because all of the horror aspects that are about this movie, it seem to ultimately fall short with how seemingly in love with its own premise that it is.
Right.
And that's where I was disappointed, because I kind of wanted to just have a weird, fun, sort of modern day Scream, which this was trying to be, but then it really was not.
It completely goes off the rails. Because you think it's going to go one way, and then just it veers in about 20 different directions, and then somehow comes back.
Yeah,
at the end.
It pulls too much to be uniquely its own, and then it just makes it into a weird. It's like when you make a kiddie cocktail, and then it just ends up tasting like garbage.
Yeah,
to me.
I mean, I like the stories about the kid who was stuck in detention for 19 years and had to do the same thing, and you're just going back in time with him. See, this is why it reminds me of like Sideways stories from Wayside High. You get like a different character and what they're doing and why they're there and the shit that's going on in their life. Like, he's been stuck in detention every year, but no one ever sees him. Sometimes they see him, sometimes they don't. Like, he was there, he wasn't there. They hint at, like, one point you see him when they're cutting from one thing to another. Wait, was someone just there where this guy was sitting and then he just appears again? I'm
right.
Like, that's cool.
Because I immediately want to fall in love with the idea of, like, okay, kids in detention, it's like a room escape, like, breakfast club kind of a thing. And then that's a time to say, start the movie there. Like, don't waste a half hour of my time.
It was 45 minutes.
Don't waste 45 minutes on just this bullshit with some
exposition
kids fucking about. Because they're just going to end up in detention, and that's going to be the plot of the movie going forward anyway.
I don't know.
I still
had fun with it. I think, like, the whole idea of detention is not just the actual detention, but, like, you're in detention when you're in school, whether you're in school or living life.
Sure.
Life is detention.
It's
never ending.
And that's fine. But if you want to, like, if you want to just make a movie.
Sure.
Like, I found a really cool movie somewhere, like, a nugget of a movie in that, like, premise of, like, oh, my God, like, there have been, like, there's a legacy of this detention that echoes through decades and decades and decades.
Right.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
But what the fuck was going on for half of this movie to get to this point? Like, to me,
it
was nothing.
It was just different stories of different people. And, like, I mean, you're dealing with kind of the basic tropes of a teen comedy. You know, it's the girl who's the loser, who's in love with the guy who's kind of a loser, but is now dating a popular girl. So now he's kind of popular. Trying to just navigate high school in general. And she has the guy who's in love with her who ends up, like, being the killer. But Sander, it's like when they have his story and it's literally a 2-second clip of him getting, like, slapped in the face or some shit like that.
And that can work for some.
And I think it works. I think it's fun. Like, I don't know. With me, I went into it not expecting much at all. I had heard that this was just a strange movie. And I saw it, I think, right when it came out and was just like, this movie is fucking awesome because it subverted my expectations completely.
Yes, I can easily agree with you on. I think this might have been the most divisive we have been.
Oh, this is by far the most divisive we've ever been. And this is what I find really strange, is that I thought out of all the films, you would actually like this one.
Yeah, no. And that's I kind of like that. That's a pleasant surprise that I can give you, Rob. I did not like this movie at all. But that's fine. I'll gladly take your next recommendation.
No, that's fine. Like, this is probably the closest to, like, a modern day batshit crazy B movie.
I think that might be you could be right. You could be right. I don't know if I like that now.
I don't know. I had fun with it. There are moments that frustrate the shit out of me in the movie, but then usually right afterwards it redeems itself with something pretty funny or good enough where it's like, oh, okay, now I get why that part was there.
Well, hopefully this could at least inspire you to see the movie and judge for yourself.
Yeah,
because
that's what it comes down to. See the movie, love it or hate it, or tolerate it, whatever.
I chose not to. So anyway, thank you so much for listening to Oh the Horror. That is going to do it for us this week.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much again. I have been your host, Steve Allman.
And I'm your host, Rob Holmes.
Be free. Feel free to check us out on Facebook and Twitter. That's at SNG. No, not that's my other show. Damn it. Feel free to check us out on Facebook and Twitter at Oh The Horror Cast. And if you want to email us any questions or suggestions, feel free to email us at ohthehorrorcast@gmail.com. And check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you can find podcasts.
Yep.
Just type in Oh The Horror. Thanks so much for listening. I have been Steve Allman.
And I'm Rob Holmes.
See you guys next time.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
Come, it is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.